This is Global Air Force.
Now, I was fully awake and cognizant. I was not dreaming. I was actually in a cell. And I knew immediately that it was hell because, first of all, the temperature, it was so far beyond the ability to sustain life. I wondered, how could I be alive in this intense heat? Mm-hmm. But yet, here I was alive. Nothing was explained to me until the way back. How I got there, why I was there, so forth. But anyway, so here I was in this cell with rough-hewn stone walls, bars, filthy, stinking, dirty prison.
Rough-hewn stone walls.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very rough, coarse, rough, a terrible-looking prison. I was lying on the floor. I noticed I had no strength in my body whatsoever, completely void of strength. Any movement took tremendous effort. I wonder why, what's wrong with me, but, you know, you don't have any strength in hell.
Now, here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Today, I'm talking to Bill Weiss. He is the author of New York Times bestseller, 23 Minutes in Hell. Quite an experience. Bill?
I'm here, Jim. It's an honor to be with you. Thank you for having me on your show.
I've enjoyed your book. So, I would like to hear you relate the story of your 23 minutes in hell, right from the heart.
Absolutely. All right. Well, first of all, to explain to the people, this was not a near-death experience that I had. This was a vision. In the Bible, it talks about visions. And so this was an out-of-body experience that I had that comes under the classification of a vision. And if you remember in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2, Paul, when he had a vision caught up in heaven, it said whether he was in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. Well, the Lord just happened to show me that I left my body. So that's what this was, not a dream, not a near-death experience. And just one more thing to explain about a vision for the Christians to understand. In a vision, you can travel, like Ezekiel did in chapter 8 and chapter 3. And he was told to eat. It became bitter in his stomach, and he wept and conversed and so forth. My point in bringing those things out is, in a vision, it is just as real as it would be in your physical body.
He had something to eat. You're saying, why was in the vision?
Right. And
wow.
It became bitter in his stomach. And like I said, he wept and so forth. So in a vision, you can experience those same things, and it is just as real. And I could give you a lot more examples of that, but we don't need to belabor that. I just wanted to get that clear.
That is interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, so that's what happened. I've never had a vision like this. I'm not giving over to them. I'm a conservative businessman. I've been a real estate broker for 35 years. And so this was very uncomfortable for me to share this, being more conservative person. I did not want to be identified with something seemingly as wild as saying, you know, you've been to hell. But nevertheless, it happened, and I shared it with one close friend, and then we were invited to other Bible studies. So I went, my wife and I went reluctantly. But for the next 7 years, we traveled around the country, wherever we were asked to go, and share this experience. This was prior to the book coming out. And we went on our own dime. We paid our own way. We never took any money for this because we didn't want to taint this in any way. We wanted people to know, hey, this is just simply a message of warning. It's not a message of condemnation. It's to give people information about hell, that the Bible is really true, what it says. There is a real hell. It does exist.
That's valuable. There's so many skeptics on the Bible today.
Right. And you know, I understand a lot of people don't really receive that, but, you know, that's why we're here, just to share information with them. And it's up to them. They have the choice to make, whether they believe it or not. But at any rate, to tell you what happened, we came home from a meeting my wife and I attended every Sunday night, a prayer meeting, actually. Went to bed, and like any other normal night, nothing unusual about the night. I've never studied the topic of hell, no interest in it. We don't see dark movies, don't entertain anything evil. This was not a result of anything like that. Went to bed. I got up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I looked at our digital clock, and right then I was pulled out of my body. I found myself falling through the air, and I landed in a prison cell in hell. Now, I was fully awake and cognizant. I was not dreaming. I was actually in a cell, and I knew immediately that it was hell because, first of all, the temperature, it was so far beyond the ability to sustain life. I wondered, how could I be alive in this intense heat? But yet, here I was alive. Nothing was explained to me until the way back. how I got there, why I was there, so forth. But anyway, so here I was in this cell with rough-hewn stone walls, bars, filthy, stinking, dirty prison.
Rough-hewn stone walls.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very rough, coarse, rough, a terrible-looking prison. I was lying on the floor. I noticed I had no strength in my body whatsoever, completely void of strength. Any movement took tremendous effort.
Mm.
I wonder why, what's wrong with me, but, you know, you don't have any strength in hell. Mm. I could give you scriptures for all of this, but I know...
Put some of them in there.
Prison cells, Isaiah 24:22 says, "And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit and shall be shut up in the prison." Mm. Proverbs 7:27 mentions going down to hell to the chambers of death, where chambers means inner rooms. Job 17:16 says, "They shall go down to the bars of the pit."
Mm.
And Jonah 2:6, there's many other verses.
And there's bars in this room?
Yeah, literal bars and gates.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many scriptures about bars and gates of hell and so forth, but they're literal. And no strength, Isaiah 14:9-10 says, "Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee at thy coming. They will say, art thou become weak as we?" And Psalms 88:4, just one more verse, says, "I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that has no strength." So one of the things you have to endure in hell is no strength. Any movement takes tremendous effort.
Mm.
But see, Acts 17:28 says, "In him we live and move and have our being." So even movement comes from God, not automatic. I looked up and there were these two enormous creatures in the cell, beasts. I didn't realize what they were. They were not human. They were not animal. They were reptilish in appearance, pacing in the cell like a caged animal and cursing and blaspheming God. They had this extreme hatred for God.
Mm.
And then they directed that hatred towards me. The one picked me up, threw me into the wall of the cell. I collapsed on the floor. The other one dug its claws into my chest, tore the flesh. Absolutely no mercy. These creatures have an extreme hatred for you.
Mm.
And but, you know, we've seen some of this hatred today in our world today. We've seen terrorism where they've sawn people's heads off on the TV. I mean, that's pretty hateful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that kind of hatred comes from the demonic realm.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so that's what happened. At this moment, it went dark. Now, I believed it was God's presence was there at the time to illuminate it.
These like creatures we see in the movies, these hideous creatures?
They were, but they were really worse looking than it.
Worse. Oh, my.
That you had. They were deformed and twisted, no symmetry to their bodies, everything deformed, grotesquely ugly. They were big, 12 or 13 feet tall. That's not an exaggeration. I could even give you scripture for that. But at any rate, they're enormous beasts that have a hatred for man and have no mercy and inflict pain on you, and you can't defend yourself. Nothing you can do. I was taken out of the cell. I was placed over next to this large, raging pit of fire. This pit was about a mile across.
Mm.
Somehow my senses were keener. Your senses are keener in hell, and I understood that it was about a mile across.
Mm-hmm.
A huge pit with flames raging high up into this open cavern. And this, Jim, is where I could first see people. There were people inside
this pit. You saw people.
I saw people inside this literally burning. It was not metaphorical or allegorical fire. It was real, literal flames.
Mm.
And the people were screaming and burning. It was the most horrendous sight to see people burning like that. And... you know, there are many scriptures I could give you, Psalms 11:6, Psalms 140:10, Matthew 13:49, so many verses I could give you about real literal fire, but it is a terrible thing to see people burning.
Well, then the Bible, people in the Bible, they had insight and experience like you had.
No, and Jesus, Jesus gave, there's 46 verses where Jesus talked about hell, and 18 of those are to do with the fires of hell. So he warned us over and over. You know, and that's what a message of warning is, a message of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's letting you know, hey, it really does exist. You do not want to go here. So I just want to say to the people, you do not want to take a chance with your soul and go to this place. It is so horrendous. And that's why Jesus warned us so much of it. And that's why he gave his life to keep us out of this place.
Mm-hmm. That's the message of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we'll get to some of the questions of why he made it and so forth a little bit further ahead. So forth, but at any rate, in this place, looking at the people, I had my full memory. I thought about my life up on the earth, that is a thing of the past. I thought about my wife. I'll never see her again. I can never get to her. She'll never know where I was at. That thought alone was extreme for me, because we're very close, my wife and I, and to never ever see her again, and not even be able to tell her where I'm at,
You couldn't explain it to her ever.
No, never, ever, for all eternity. And I understood that I was down deep in the earth. It was just something I understood. But there are 49 verses that talk about where hell's located right now. I knew there were different degrees of punishment and levels of torment. I don't know what level I was in, but I understood there were worse levels than I was in.
How did you see that, or how did you know that?
I just understood it. I can't tell you how I knew it. I just understood there were different levels and people being tormented in worse ways.
Well, did you see different levels or different groups
I
of
didn't.
People?
Mm-hmm. There are scriptures that refer to all this, but and I didn't know that until afterwards. I knew none of these scriptures until after this. I never studied the Bible in the area of hell prior to this, experience. Afterwards, I did all my research. But anyway, the point is there is no comfortable level in hell. They're all horrendous beyond anything you can imagine. And the smells in hell are so foul and putrid and disgusting. Like the worst open sewer you could ever smell, bad eggs, rotten milk, everything you can think of, take that times 1,000. And there's, add the smell of sulfur to it. And sulfur is actually toxic. If you go to Hawaii to the volcano, you can't go past a certain point. They have signs posted because of the toxicity of the sulfur, the coming up from the volcano.
That's interesting.
That will kill you.
People that have had confrontations with demons, I've read, they smelt like sulfur. It was a stink. Mm-hmm.
It is, and it smells terrible, and it would actually kill you. So you wonder, why am I still alive breathing in the toxicity of this atmosphere? But it's even worse than that because you don't have enough air to breathe. It's not like here where you take a nice deep breath. There's not enough oxygen in hell, so you have to fight and gasp for the tiniest bit of air. And so any moment you feel like you're going to die.
You gave a demonstration on a video I watched of how you had to breathe. That was scary. How did you have to breathe?
Well, it was like this. It was like... that's as much air as you could get, so maybe only an asthma patient can relate to that. But to fight and feel like any moment you're going to die because you don't have enough air is another terrible thing to endure. But see, Isaiah 42:5 says, the Lord gives breath to the people upon the earth. You're not upon the earth, you're down beneath the earth. And so you don't derive that benefit of all these things, of mercy and so forth. And you need to sleep in hell, and you never get to go to sleep either. Now, I was only there 23 minutes, but I literally felt like I was there 23 weeks. I was physically totally exhausted. And I understood that you need to go to sleep, but you never sleep in hell again. So, imagine what you feel like here. If you stay up for one or two nights, you feel pretty bad. Well, there you never get to go to sleep. But Revelation 14:11 talks about that. Isaiah 57:20. But again, see, Psalms 127:2 says, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. You're not his beloved there, so you don't, again, derive that benefit. And you have no purpose, no destiny. It's just a useless wasting away. There's no work to do, nothing. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in Sheol. Sheol is the word for hell, the Hebrew word for hell. And so it's just an absolute useless wasting away.
Oh, my.
And you can never help anybody. You can't help yourself. You have no destiny. No one would know who you are there. Ecclesiastes 6:4 says, your name is covered in darkness. So it doesn't matter if you're somebody famous. No one would know that there. You're just isolated, kept apart, and you don't have any kind of form anyway. You're like a skeleton form of a person, and so you're unidentifiable.
Oh, my.
So all these things, you're kept apart from people. You don't get to talk to people. Even though I saw those people in the fire, they're kept isolated and apart. So you don't get the pleasure of conversation. That you're denied that forever. There's no food. You can't eat. And the thirst in hell. I was so thirsty, one drop. Here we can't, Jim, we can't really relate to what a drop of water would do for us, right? What would a drop of water do for you? Nothing. It would not excite you too much, one drop.
No.
But yet I'm telling you, one drop in hell, just one, would have been so precious and valuable, and you never get that drop. Like the rich man in Luke 16, he just wanted Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water. He said, for I am tormented in this flame. And he never got that drop. And so these are all the things that, and like I said, the darkness, it was only light for a little bit so the Lord could, for me to see.
You think that he illuminated that cell that you could see those beasts?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then it resumed its normal state of absolute pitch black darkness. And I mean not just a darkness, but an evil presence about the darkness.
Oh, my.
Because there's no love there of any kind. There's only hatred. And you could feel it. It would penetrate through your very being. And you could feel it. That's not an exaggeration. Exodus 10:21 talks about a darkness that may be felt. You can actually feel darkness. And so the only reason I could see was because the Lord let me see a little bit. And by the flames, I don't know if that was, again, God allowing me to see. But even if it was, it was so dark, I could only see through the flames.
Mm-hmm.
The light from the flames did not light up, illuminate the area like it would here. It's so dark, it just consumed any of the light.
The light was like sucked up.
Just, right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So again, to be in darkness, demons that can torment you, there's nobody going to come rescue you. There's no cavalry coming over the hill. You're alone in this place and isolated. I don't care how tough you think you are. You end up in hell. You're nothing. You're weak and you have no defenses whatsoever.
You said something in your book about there were separate pits with people in little pits. That you...
Right alongside that big pit. I could only see a little bit right along the edge from the light, and right along the edge there were individual pits of fire, like 3 and 4 feet across, people in their own individual pits. I don't know why that was, some in an individual pit and others in the big pit. I'm just reporting what I saw, but the flames would come up and burn their flesh off, and they would scream, and then the flames would come up again and burn more, and it just the most horrific sights. There were all kinds of different shaped demons, you know, some 12 and 13 feet tall, some 3 and 4 feet. Some were the shape of spiders, and they were like 3 and 4 feet across.
Oh, my.
So like spiders that big. I mean, snakes and every gross thing you wouldn't want to see. There's maggots in hell. Isaiah 14:11 talks about where the maggot will be spread under thee and will cover thee and will feed sweetly on thee, Job 24:20. So these are all the things. A maggot eating at your flesh for all eternity.
Mm.
Remember, Jesus said, where their worm dies not, and the fire is not quenched.
The worm doesn't die.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
Now, here in life, I didn't know this, but I learned this from John MacArthur's teaching on hell, where he said that, you know, if an animal is being eaten, a dead animal is being eaten by maggots, well, when the flesh is consumed, the maggots die. I never realized that, but
I
maggots
didn't know
die.
That. Mm-hmm.
But see, that's where Jesus said, where their worm dies not, because the flesh is never fully consumed. So they feed on you sweetly like that. I mean, how horrendous.
How horrendous.
And, you know, you're completely separate from God. There is no God that's ever going to come help you. The Lord is not going to get you out of this place. You're lost there for all eternity.
Mm.
And Isaiah 38:18 says, those who go down to the pit cannot hope for thy truth. And we know that the truth is Jesus, because he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So they have no hope for the only one that could save them is Jesus, the truth, and they have no hope for him.
Mm.
So that was really, Jim, the worst part of hell was not only being separated from God, but knowing that you'll never, ever get out.
Never have any hope ever
right.
again.
Mm-hmm. You know, and here in life, people, even if they have a terrible situation, they can always die to get out of it. I mean, I know
yes.
that sounds terrible, but at least you can die to get out of your pain.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
in hell, you can't get out of it ever. So that's why the hopelessness is so, so terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people need to know that, hey, this place is real. You do not want to take a chance on going to this place.
These creatures that you said, spiders and various ugly creatures, where were they at?
I was around this tunnel going around me that went up like a tunnel. And all around the sides were these creatures, all around the sides.
Hanging on the sides.
They were hanging on the sides. A lot of them were chained to the walls. I can't explain that. I can just tell you they were chained up to the walls, these demons, these creatures, and gigantic spiders and snakes.
Mm-hmm. These fallen angels were chained in darkness.
Yeah, there is a scripture
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that it was just these particular ones were chained. I was glad they were, that they couldn't get at me.
Mm-hmm.
But there were so many of them all over the place. And
were they watching you?
Yeah, they were. These particular ones were trying to get at me, but they couldn't because they were chained up.
Oh, my.
They had this hatred for mankind. And, you know, I didn't understand that. But, you know, Jesus said in John 15:18, they hated me before they hated you. And so the demonic realm hates God, but it can't hurt God, per se, but it can hurt his creation.
Wow.
So that's why they hate man. And
that's how they get to God.
Right, and that's why there's such destruction and evil that we see on the earth. It's you know, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Mm-hmm.
John 10:10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the hatred and the terrible things that we see in the earth, the destruction, comes from the demonic realm.
Mm-hmm. To some people today, that's going to be the answer they've been looking for. Like, why all this hate, and where does it come from, and is God responsible? And
right.
These are questions.
Hmm? That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of controversy about hell. A lot of people don't believe in hell. A lot of Christians even believe in things like annihilationism,
mm-hmm.
which is a teaching that says that if you deny Jesus, and when you die, you just simply cease to exist.
Mm. Annihilation.
Right, annihilationism, mm-hmm. or conditional annihilationism. There's all forms of it, but none of it's true. It is eternal, and Jesus said, Matthew 25:46, these shall go into everlasting life, and these shall go into everlasting punishment. And he used the same word, everlasting, as the word ionios. So just as heaven is eternal, so is hell eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he warned where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You have to exist to weep and gnash your teeth.
Yes.
He said you'll never see light. Psalms 49:14 and 49:19, you'll never see light. Well, you have to exist to never see it. And many, many verses about where the torment ascends up forever and ever. Revelation 14:11 says, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. No rest from the torments or anything.
What you're saying is we exist forever, and it'll either be one place or the other. We exist forever. And this annihilism you were talking about.
Right, annihilationism.
They believe that we just die like an animal. Is that what they believe?
Well,
that's what I've heard them say.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. There's the atheist, of course, that believes that nothing, nothing happens after you die. You just cease to exist. Well, there's a lot of Christians that believe that, you go to heaven if you believe in Jesus, but if you don't, that you again cease to exist. So that's a lot of Christians believe that.
Mm-hmm. That's not what you're telling me. The Bible doesn't agree with that.
Right.
And Jesus didn't agree with that.
No. What did he save us from? If we cease to exist, why did he go through all the suffering on the cross and die a horrific death to save us from nothing?
Mm-hmm.
Why are there degrees of punishment? You shall receive the greater damnation, inferring there's a lesser.
Mm-hmm.
Or it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Matthew 10:15, inferring there's a less tolerable.
Mm.
Hebrews 10:28 mentions how much worse of a punishment suppose ye shall you receive, you who have trodden underfoot the Son of God. There's a worse punishment.
There's degrees of punishment, and that is supported by the Bible.
Matthew 23:14, Matthew 10:15, Luke 12:47 talks about being beaten with many stripes or beaten with few. Hebrews 10:28, Psalms 86:13. I could go on.
Oh my.
But, the great right throne judgment, when all people stand before God, all unsaved people, in Revelation 20:13-15, it says they'll be judged for their works.
Okay.
And so you'll be judged according to your works. And then if your name is not found written in the book of life, you are cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20:15. So those people, their name's not in the book. And they'll be all cast into the lake of fire.
There's that lake of fire again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's one of the common misconceptions people have. There was a Barna poll, a 2006 Barna poll, that showed that 54% of Americans generally believe that if they're good, they'll go to heaven. If they're bad, they go to hell. That's the common misconception. People think, well, if I'm a good person, I'll make it. But it's not based on being good. It's based on a relationship.
My friend, it's not a message of gloom when you realize that God's made a way that you can be free, forgiven, and bear the name of Jesus. I mean, that's what the word Christian means. We can be made righteous and holy by the blood of Jesus. So there is a way out. This is not a hopeless message, but a message full of hope. Bill, I really enjoyed my time with you.
Me too. I am so honored to be on your show and to share the truth of God's Word with people.
Amen. It's just the beginning. I'll be getting back with you.
Okay.
I sense in my spirit the great things.
Okay. So, okay, well then, we'll talk again. And all right, well, praise God.
God bless you and your honey right now.
All right. Thanks, Jim, and you too. All right, God bless.
Oh, praise God. That was fascinating, Bill. Well, do you want to know more about Bill's experience while he was in hell? Well, here's his website. You can get in touch with him through his website and find out about his books and his agenda. Here's his website address. Are you ready? It's 23minutesinhell.org. Once again, that website, www.23minutesinhell.org.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. I'm Jim Rohn. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
Don't look so sad. Your life isn't over. Jesus is here. If you should find you ever need him, don't say a word about tomorrow or your past life. There'll be no time for sadness when you meet him. Get your Bible. I'll show you a story about a man who died so you'd be free. He will save you. But best of all, he'll forever love you. He's Jesus, he's God, and he's mine.
Oh, once my soul was astray from that heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. Oh, but my Savior above gave me peace, joy, and love when he reached down his hand for me.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.